Welcome back to the Arab Voices on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 FM in Galveston, and kpft.org on the World Wide Web. This is Saeed, producer and host of Arab Voices. With us now live over the phone is Dr. Doug Rocky. Dr. Rocky is a Vietnam and Gulf War I veteran and former director of the U.S. Army's Depleted Uranium Project. He is an independent consultant, provides assistance to individuals, governmental organizations, and non-governmental organizations on health, physical science, hazardous materials, counterterrorism, weapons of mass destruction, and environmental issues. He served as an environmental sciences specialist at the Transportation Safety Institute, the Aviation and Environmental Safety Division at the U.S. Department of Transportation, where he developed and prepared environmental science and occupational safety educational programs. He also served as project director for the U.S. Army Chemical School at Fort McClellan in Alabama. He is an environmental educator and a nuclear medical sciences officer. Dr. Rocky has produced numerous publications on various topics, including depleted uranium, and was key speaker at dozens of major national and international conferences, including the International Conference on Uranium Munitions in Germany, held just a few days ago. Dr. Rocky, welcome to the show. Dr. Rocky, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you, and welcome to the Arab Voices. We're pleased to have you with us. Can you please give us information on the work that you did in the Gulf, and especially relating to the depleted uranium? And if you could explain to us and our listeners, what is exactly depleted uranium and its use in wars?
Well, depleted uranium is the primary byproduct of the uranium enrichment process, where the United States, England, and other nations derive their fissionable uranium that used to make nuclear fuel and reactors and to make bombs. For every 100 grams that goes in the process, over 99 grams is just pure waste, and that's what they call depleted uranium. Comes out basically as uranium hexafluoride, then it's processed, and it's made into munitions. An individual tank round that's fired by the Abrams tank, each individual round is over 4,700 grams, or over 10 pounds of solid uranium-238, mixed with plutonium, neptunium, americium, uranium-236, and uranium-234 and 235. The individual A-10 round is over 300 grams of solid uranium. The Bradley fighting vehicle fires a round that's about a half a pound of solid uranium. The Navy Phalanx fires a round that's about a half a pound of solid uranium. And then we have all of the cruise missiles and bunker busters that are hundreds of pounds of uranium included. They're extremely effective weapon. When you fire a round and it just literally destroys anything that it hits, a very effective weapon.
How different is that than any other weapon that is used in war? Does it leave effects on the environment and the human beings?
Absolutely. When the uranium is a radioactive heavy metal. So this would be thinking about taking a radioactive lead. You know, lead's not radioactive, but everybody knows that you can't eat lead dust, can't eat lead paint dust. So think about taking, you know, lots and lots of this stuff and inhale it, ingest it, and get it in your body. During Gulf War I, we fired about 375 tons of solid uranium. That's what we left in the desert. In Gulf War II, the estimates right now are upwards of 2,000 tons. In Afghanistan, 1,000 tons. In the Balkans, between the two combined wars in 94, 95, 99, probably close to 60 to 70 tons. Basically, the United States took its solid radioactive waste and threw it in another nation in order to win a war.
Is it legal?
No, it's not. The United Nations has ruled that the use of uranium munitions are totally illegal because they're indiscriminate, they can't be cleaned up, they have effects on the general population, the civilians, the women, and the children, just like they do on the combatants.
So what kind of statistics do you have or information about the effects of using the, what you mentioned, 370 tons in Gulf War I and 2,000 tons in Iraq recently in this war? What kind of effects did this have on the Iraqi people and on our soldiers that are there?
Well, on our own soldiers, when I was given the task by General Schwarzkopf with our team to clean up the uranium mess following Gulf War One, we all started getting sick within 2 days, and we've never been well since. The first death from cancers were within a year to 2 years, and everybody's continued to get sick. Medical records have absolutely been destroyed at the National Record Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Medical records for care that we provided in Iraq never arrived back in the United States during Gulf War One. And today, trying to obtain medical care, not only for those that were involved in friendly fire, that's U.S. troops struck by uranium munitions, fired by U.S. troops, but attempts for me to get medical care as recently as today from the U.S. Army Central Command have failed.
Why would the U.S. use it then if it's illegal?
Well, it's very simple. Uranium munitions are extremely effective, and when you go to war, the purpose is to kill and destroy, period, and totally disregard the health and environmental effects.
Even on the health of our own soldiers who are conducting the war?
They don't care whatsoever. One of the most astonishing things that's happening literally as we speak right now, down at Fort Stewart in Georgia, that over 600 individuals have been put into medical holding down there by the U.S. Army. These are individuals evacuated from Iraq because of all kinds of respiratory, neurological problems and everything else. And the military just literally put them into barracks and has abandoned their medical care. So congressional investigators were down there today in the last few days, and that's all broken loose, that all of a sudden the Army is now supposedly going to provide medical care for our nation's sons and daughters. And Fort Stewart's not the only location. We got continuous reports from all over the nation that well over 4,000 to 5,000 individuals have been brought back very ill from Gulf War II due to all of these combined exposures, and their medical care has been willfully denied.
Did you mentioned that when you were there, you got sick. You got sick yourself from this?
Absolutely. Myself and my team got sick within about 2 days. The first thing that shows up is respiratory problems. It's like having a bronchitis, except you don't have any bronchial constriction. It's what's called reactive airway disease. The particulates from the uranium irritate the entire respiratory tract and cause massive flooding. It's like a pneumonia. That's what's been reported amongst the troops right now throughout Gulf War II, and also in the Iraqi civilians. The next thing that shows up is the rashes, and there's report in that. Then the cancers start to show up. You got all kinds of neurological problems from the uranium, the radiological and the chemical toxicity. But we got to remember, when we're going to war, we're not just having solid uranium. We fire a uranium round, we destroy something, they got conventional munitions byproducts. You've got all the hazardous materials that are released when you destroy the object, and we just got a toxic wasteland for which we can't clean up and for which we don't have any medical care.
So this has a long, long-term effect.
4.5 billion years minimum.
My goodness.
That's the age of the Earth.
This is really a very dangerous on the human being, and I'm sure the animals also are affected and by this.
Well, absolutely, and the United States Department of Defense's own doctrine specifically for what's called DORAM, that's a safety, troop safety around uranium or other low-level radioactive materials, states very point-blank that uranium contamination make food and water unusable. And we know from firsthand observations and videos and scientific reports coming out of Iraq that, I mean, I've seen residential areas littered with uranium rounds, and U.S. military personnel doing absolutely nothing to protect the civilians. Children are playing in and around contaminated equipment. They're serving food right next to contaminated equipment. The contamination's into the water supply. So absolutely no doubt at all about it. This is a crime against God and humanity.
Has the United Nations issued any statements or reports regarding the Iraqi people there, and how has this affected them?
Well, the United Nations, UNEP-CEP, has not gone and done an investigation. We tried to launch an epidemiological investigation many years ago, and we were stopped cold by President Bill Clinton and his staff. The World Health Organization has done minimal stuff. The British Royal Society, Dr. Brian Spratt and his staff, we have both together on international radio called for complete medical care and complete environmental remediation or isolation of contaminated areas. And that's in total compliance with the United States Department of Defense's and NATO's own directives requiring medical care within 24 hours for anybody that was exposed to uranium contamination, and the complete directives for remediation or isolation of contaminated areas.
I want to remind our listeners of the phone number to call and ask our guest questions regarding depleted uranium and what we are talking about now. Our guest, by the way, is Dr. Doug Rocky, the former director of the U.S. Army's Depleted Uranium Project, who, by the way, will be in Houston next week. He will be at University of Houston on Monday at 3 p.m. and at 7 p.m. he will be speaking at Rice University. On Tuesday, he will be at the UT School of Public Health at 12 noon. And at 7 p.m., he will be speaking at the First Unitarian Universalist Church. Give us a call if you have any questions now. That phone number is 713-526-5738. Again, the number is 713-526-KPFT. And we're going to go ahead and take a few calls now. Our first caller is Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Rocky. Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. And yourself?
Okay. I got two quick questions for you. The first question is, sir, is I attend the University of Houston, and I have a couple of classmates in my class that are in the military reserves. How do I approach them about the dangers about if they get called up and they have to go to Iraq or some other place? How do we reach the people that are not being exposed yet? How do we stop this lying and deceit? And my second question is, this has to do with radiation. In 1945, when we dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, well, if planning a trip to Japan next year to visit, say, like Tokyo, Nagasaki, Osaka, has a radiation level deteriorated enough where it's safe for civilians to visit those areas?
Well, first off, the answer, yeah, it's safe to visit those areas. There's no problem with that. On the first, the other question that you have, the United States Department of Defense has has required a full education and training program. I wrote it, 40 hours is the duration for individual or anybody to come in contact with uranium munitions. However, they're not providing it. The other thing you need to do for these individuals is you need to show them all the general United States General Accounting Office, Department of Defense reports, verifying that the protective clothing, that's a gas mask and the MOP suits, are defective. All the stuff on the medical care directives, the United States General Accounting Office verified that the Department of Defense willfully and deliberately did not provide individuals pre-deployment physicals. They didn't provide them medical care while they're in Iraq. And what's breaking loose right now in the national news with congressional investigations is the fact that the Army has been taking 600 down at Fort Stewart, put into a spent barracks, and just denied them medical care when they came back sick from Iraq. So if you got your friends that want to go in the military and go to Iraq, tell them the truth and have them find out what really happens. You're abandoned by our nation.
Yeah, well, Tuesday, when you come speak at the church, I'm going to try to get a couple of these classmates to come to that talk. I think it's very vital that they hear this.
Yeah, it is, because the military is not telling them, and that's why the today it's so critical. And what's happened, the congressional investigators found out that the military was willfully withholding medical care from our nation's veterans at Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. And what is your prediction? How do you think this is all going to unravel? This is going to be bigger than Watergate, don't you think?
Well, I think by the time it's all over, because you've got total gross contamination from war that's affecting everybody. The United States has deliberately and willfully contaminated Iraq without justification for the invasion, and they're deliberately and willfully refusing to comply with their own written directives requiring medical care for everybody, and their own written directives requiring environmental cleanup. I talked to Central Command in Florida earlier today, again, for about the zillionth time. And the fine individuals there say, we can't help you. Nobody's listening. Nobody will do anything. It's just a staggering cover-up of health and environmental effects, not only on U.S. troops, but on the Iraqi population, the noncombatants, the children.
Yes.
The children of Iraq are suffering horribly. The epidemiology at the World Uranium Medical Conference was just held at the University of Hamburg in Hamburg, Germany. I just returned, not even 48 hours ago, was staggering. The epidemiology from Iraq, from the United States, from Canada, from England, from Spain, from Italy. Everything matches.
Yeah, we got to tell the truth and stop this madness, sir. And I'm with you all the way.
Well, thank you very much. Right. I'm just an old Army officer that's finishing my job. You know, like General Douglas MacArthur said one time,
yes,
he's an old soldier that fades away. Well, I'm one old soldier that will never fade away. until all the troops are taken care of.
That's right.
Okay, thank you, Mike, for your call.
Take care.
Dr. Rocky, let me ask you, are you still in the military?
I just retired.
You just retired.
So I came in 1967, and I got my retirement orders less than a month ago. So that's, let's see, what year is this, 2003?
Yes. How were you treated from the Army based on what you've been, obviously you've been advocating regarding this for years. How did the Army take that?
Well, the Army made myself and the rest of my team their experts, and then once we spoke out and contradicted the official line, which was mandated by the infamous Los Alamos Memorandum, we became persona non grata.
All right. 713-526-5738 is the number. Give us a call. 713-526-KPFT. Let's take another call. Next one is Ahmed. Ahmed, you're on there. Ahmed, yes. You're on there. Go ahead, please.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
These are the days of Allah, and the worst is yet to come.
I can't hear you. Speak up, please, sir.
Yes. I said that these are the days of Allah, and the worst is yet to come. I just wanted to make a comment in regards to what's going on in the Arabs and Palestinians' land, and most definitely what's going on in Iraq. That what is going on is mass murder, and a lot of deceit and lies are being told. But I want to say that the claim that Israel has that has made is definitely a false claim, and we, the members of the Lost Foundation of Islam, under the leadership of the Most Honorable Salas Muhammad, do not dispute anything that was taught to us by Master Farad Muhammad and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, peace be upon him. And they both stated that.
Okay, Ahmed, I don't mean to be rude, but we're talking about right now the depleted uranium, and we're trying to get more on this topic from the expertise of Dr. Rocky. Do you have a specific question or comment regarding that topic we're discussing with him now, while we have him live on the air?
Okay, well, if I was going to make one little statement, then that, you know, it would lead to a question, and that is that but the fact that the troops are over there, they really shouldn't be over there and don't belong over there. And what I was about to say was that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us and wrote an article entitled "The Worst Is Yet to Come," and stated that the all that military that's over there will have to come up out of there, or will be defeated in war. So if they weren't over there, they would not be exposed to that, and they wouldn't have exposed the people over there to what's going on.
Okay, thank you, Ahmed. What is your view, Dr. Rocky, on the war to begin with?
Well, first off, the justification for the war, the fact that the Iraq military possessed chemical and biological weapons that were ready to deploy within 45 minutes was an absolute lie. In 1990 and 1991, we knew that Iraq possessed chemical and biological weapons. The United States provided those weapons to them. But we made a conscious decision in December of 1990 at the command headquarters that we would blow up all that stuff up in place. We continued to blow it up in place through 91, and in 92, Scott Ritter's United Nations UNSCOM team went in and blew it up the rest of the time, destroyed it, until 1998, when the Secretary of Defense at that time, Cohen, ordered United Nations Scott Ritter's teams out so they could launch another attack. The other thing, based on the fact that they said that Iraq was trying to possess uranium from Niger, that's a joke. I mean, you know, there's only a few places in the world and a few countries in the world where you can get fissionable, enriched uranium, and that's you're not going to get it from Africa.
Yes.
And then the last part of it, the fact that Iraq possessed some type of an offensive capability, well, as we saw from what happened in Gulf War II, they didn't possess even a defensive capability, much less any offensive military capability. So the whole thing was basically a sham from the get-go, and that was flat wrong. And then to blow the place up and destroy the nation's infrastructure and release all the toxic industrial chemicals and use uranium munitions all over and just walk away, it's flat wrong.
And now we are using prohibited weapons on the war in Iraq.
Without any hesitation, just like in Afghanistan, just like we did in the Vieques, Puerto Rico against U.S. citizens, just like we've done right over here in Jefferson Proving Ground in Indiana, which is a toxic wasteland, and the military has refused to clean it up because they say it's too dangerous to go in there. But all that's right. Here in Jefferson Proving Ground, southeast of Indianapolis. But that you'll use it over there in another nation and just allow the residents to lollygag and walk around and have drink the food, the water, and the kids play on it.
Okay, let's take another call from another listener. Next call is from Layla. Layla, you're on there.
Yes, I'm here. I have an article here in Extraordinary Science by Garth Nicholson, chair of the Department of Biology, University of Texas in Houston, and Nancy L. Nicholson, president of the Biomedical Foundation. She talks about Operation Desert Storm and the use of depleted uranium. And there seems to be some kind of antibiotic which can really help people. This is called the antibiotic doxycycline. Has caused zero side effects, and it has several people who have been taking it, and it helps them some, if not completely. If you'd like a copy of this article, it's in the Extraordinary Science, October, November, December, 1995. I'd be able to send you one, a photocopy of it, then you can pass it on to Dr. Rocky.
Well, I'm totally familiar with the work of Garth, okay, and that wasn't used for uranium. That was used for another biological agent that was involved in there.
It's not the same thing?
No, it's totally different. There's two different things. There is no effective medical care or treatment for anybody that's been exposed to radiation. The only thing, you know, radioactive particulates that got this stuff in the body, they're heavy metal toxins. The only thing you can do is stabilize their functions. Doxycycline, and I've been on doxycycline because of my exposures during 4-1, has devastating effects on the gastrointestinal system.
I see.
You could take her about 2 weeks and that's it. But it's a very dangerous drug.
It's a very dangerous drug.
Absolutely, and requires complete, total medical...
That might be the answer. Yes, I did some photographs in Washington Report on Middle East Affairs of Representative Rahal from West Virginia, who visited an Iraqi hospital, and he saw a boy in New Bellemburby with a head as big as a watermelon. And then on another photograph of the soldier, an American soldier, with his son standing next to his son, and the son's arms are growing out of his shoulders. He doesn't even have any arms, and his legs are large and bow-legged. So that was from just the father helping give birth to a baby, and the father was there. So it affects the progeny of the people who fight there.
We're absolutely seeing all the health and birth effects. The Uranium Medical Weapons Conference in Hamburg, Germany, just in the last few days ago, the medical evidence was presented on all sides showing exactly the same birth effects coming up. What we've done is we've gone to war, release a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Contaminated not only the warriors and the present people, but we've injured the generations to come. The children of their Gulf War veterans, where the birth defects have just become legendary.
Yeah.
And the U.S. military personnel that have children with birth defects, they are threatened, and if they speak out and tell what's going on, they automatically lose their medical benefits.
Okay, Layla, we want to thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
And let's try to take as many calls as we can with the remaining 9 minutes we have. Next one is Tabitha. Tabitha, you're on there.
Hi. I was just wondering about a comment that you made. You said that the United States intentionally used these weapons on Iraqis, and I was you said something about intentionally, and I can't remember just what, but intentionally endangering them or something like that. I was wondering what I can refer to as far as proof for that. I do trust you. I just need to know what I can refer to as far as proof.
Well, if you go back in the briefings from Central Command that were conducted during the war, they totally acknowledged the use of uranium munitions.
Okay, where can I find something like that?
You just have to go to the U.S. military websites, Department of Defense websites for Central Command, and pull up the briefings. That's there. I mean, there's no question. They've totally acknowledged it between the British Royal Society and all over the place. So you've got AP Wire stories that have been published that totally acknowledge it. It just there's just no question about it whatsoever.
Does it come through on Reuters and AFP as well?
Yeah, all over the place, and the Japanese have done just extensive work on it with video, first-hand videotapes showing uranium littering residential neighborhoods of Baghdad. And then the other thing you had, all you had to do was watch into the videotapes from the war, because uranium munitions leave a very distinctive signature when they detonate.
And I think, Tabitha, you might find more information on a website called traprockpeace.org.
Can you say that again?
Traprockpeace.org. That's traprockpeace.org. Again, traprockpeace.org. You'll find tremendous amount of information on depleted uranium.
Then also the www.ngwrc.org website. NGWRC.org.
All right, thank you.
They're literally right at the leading edge right now what's happening within the last 24 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you.
We've got 600 troops at Fort Stewart, Georgia. Yes. They've been deliberately denied medical care by the U.S. military.
Are they the same ones who are sitting inside really hot barracks?
Yeah, combined exposures and health effects they're having match uranium and other exposure effects.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we've got a few minutes left, and I want to ask the remaining callers to please make your question short. Next one is Jeremy. Jeremy, you're on there.
I just had a quick question. That was regarding the media and why a lot of this information hasn't hit the mainstream media. This is the first time that I myself have heard anything regarding the uranium issue.
Good question.
Well, it's been the Department of Defense has a very specific setup. Dr. Michael Kilpatrick's responsible. Barbara Goodnow and Austin Camacho and other individuals, Rick Thomas, these are all people in the Department of Defense, what's called Public Affairs Office. They were specifically tasked to cover up and hide all of the information. The fact that a world conference was just held just a few days ago, and it was not mentioned whatsoever in the U.S. press is astonishing. The fact that over 4,000 U.S. troops have been brought back medically evacuated out of the Gulf War II and are sick, and not getting medical care is totally hidden. The fact that the United Nations many, many years ago, in 1996, ruled uranium munitions were totally illegal has not been publicized. This is all in compliance with what's called the Los Alamos Memorandum. I received that in March of 1991 when I was tasked by General Schwarzkopf to clean up the mess. It told us to lie in our reports and to make sure that we always, whatever we did, sustained the use of uranium munitions. That was followed up in December of 1992 by the Assistant Secretary of the Army, Walker, when he ordered us to do the United States Army Environmental Policy Institute study and directed us to figure out ways to reduce the toxicity, but still remember the uranium munitions would always be used in combat.
Dr. Rocky, you've mentioned the ngwrc.org website. Do you have your own website or website?
No, I don't have any website. I'm so busy. Our team is so busy of helping people that... you know, when we go out and do stuff, other people have put stuff up on websites, but we're not associated with any group or organization. We're just a bunch of senior Army doctors and scientists and physicians, civilian scientists and physicians that all work together to help the veterans and the people of the world.
Very well.
We're finishing a job.
Yeah. Let's take another call, and that's Anthony. Anthony, please make your question short.
Yes. I was wondering now... why couldn't the United States find a... I don't know if you addressed this earlier, but why could not the United States find a more conventional way, you know, a way that was accepted by the world, you know, world treaties and the United Nations? Why could not the United States find a way to address the war in Iraq in a more conventional manner instead of using these horrendous weapons, which... leave these major problems, you know, with the people. I mean, it's not just people that are targeted, but also, you know, later members of their family. Why could not they use a more conventional way to solve these issues, you know, to attack?
Well, there is no conventional weapons. It's not going to leave destruction and wholesale environmental contamination. Because even if we use conventional munitions, conventional explosives, TNT, PNT, and then all these other stuff, you still have extensive environmental contamination. But when we destroy the nation's infrastructure, their hospitals, their industry, their agriculture, and their medical institutions, we release all of these toxic chemicals that we have in our house and around industry every day, contaminate air, water, and soil for eternity. It's got to the point, as a senior Army officer, it's been in since 1967, I had to reach one conclusion. Today, war is obsolete because we can no longer deal with the health and environmental consequences of the war when we blow stuff up and release it or the weapons we use. It's just, it's horrible. It's flat wrong.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take the last call, and that's from Linda. Linda, you have only a few seconds to ask your question.
Okay, I'll ask it really quickly. Since these munitions are made out of depleted uranium, they're made of nuclear materials, couldn't they be considered weapons violating the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which says you can't use nuclear weapons against a country that doesn't have them?
Well, yeah, but you got to remember, we're taking tons and tons and tons of solid radioactive waste that we cannot effectively dispose of or even disperse one single pound here in the United States, Canada, or England, or Australia, and we're throwing hundreds and hundreds and thousands of tons in another nation and walking away. So just under international law for disposal of radioactive waste, it's wrong. But as far as nuclear, we're just, it's a nuclear wasteland, radiological wasteland, heavy metal wasteland. Total disregard for health and environmental effects. Total disregard for their own directives requiring medical care and environmental cleanup. It's just pure arrogance to win a war and kill and destroy.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost out of time, but the good news is Dr. Doug Rocky, the Vietnam and Gulf War I veteran and former director of the U.S. Army's depleted uranium project, whom you've been hearing over the past 30 minutes or so live here on Arab Voices, will be in Houston next week. So you get to meet him in person and listen to him. He is scheduled to give four different lectures beginning Monday at 3 p.m. at the University of Houston. Then at 7 p.m. on Monday, he will be speaking at Rice University. On Tuesday at 12 noon, he will be at the UT School of Public Health. And then at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, he will be speaking at the First Unitarian Universalist Church located at 5200 Fannin. For more information on this, please call 713-524-2682. Again, 713-524-2682. Dr. Rocky, we want to thank you so much for being our guest this evening.
Well, thank you, Saeed, and hopefully we can start and limit these problems and get medical care for everybody and get the environment cleaned up. But more important, let's start talking together to resolve our problems rather than going to war anymore.
Yes, indeed. And we want peace. We do not want wars anymore and destruction. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. This is Saeed, producer and host of Arab Voices. Please stay tuned for a rerun of Democracy Now. And until we meet you next Wednesday, peace on earth.